This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
From athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Thomas, by myself today. Andy and Micah flaked on me, freaking jerks. Just kidding, it was scheduled without them. They had stuff going on. So today's show, we actually got Dan Johnson, host of the Nine Finger Chronicles and owner of the network we're on to talk about. Well, it was just going to be a BS show, but we actually ended up talking about a topic that's interesting to me because him and I differ on this subject a little bit, and that subject is off-season trail cam strategy. Like, what he does and what I do are two kind of totally different things, especially as it relates to how you deploy the cams in the summertime or even this time of year. I do things a little different than Dan does and vice versa. I think we'd both do things the exact same if we had a million cameras, but you know, even being sponsored by a trail cam company, we don't have as many cameras as we wish we could have. Shit, I'd have 200 cameras probably if I had as many as I wanted. So that's what the show is today. It's basically just talking about off-season strategy. Obviously, during the season, stuff kind of changes. But, you know, this time of year, late winter, in through summer, what is he doing with trail cams? So appreciate Dan coming on. Make sure you go check out his show, Nine Finger Chronicles, as well as the Hunting Gear Podcast. You know, hop on wherever you listen to your podcast, hop on there, give us a 5-star review. We would really appreciate it. Check out our website, MissouriWoodsAndWater.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube. We will have as many as our shows that we can coming out on YouTube as well. Not all of them get released because some of them are in person. We travel and we don't record everything quite yet. We're kind of working towards it, but work in progress. So do those things for us. We appreciate it. We appreciate all of you as well. Let's hop into some sponsors real quick before we do today's show. Lucky Buck, luckybuckmineral.com, just did a few dumps, as I call it, yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. And one of them, Jesus, those freaking things. It looks like a cow lot in there. They've been asking for it, apparently. So they got some more. So you're behind the eight ball a little bit when it comes to mineral. So get to your local store, find that lucky buck, get you some buckets, and get going. Onyx Maps, use code MWW20 for 20% off of any of their plans. Got to get on the website to do it. It's a hell of a savings for an awesome product. We didn't have ours for like a day or two just a couple weeks ago, and I thought I was going to – it's like I lost my hand. So check them out, Onyx. Black Ovis and Camo Fire. Black Ovis and Camo Fire are related in it. So you can get anything from Black Ovis anytime. It's an online retailer, man. They sell all kinds of stuff. Custom arrows, hunting gear, camo, everything. Everything you can think of. You can use the code MWW10 for 10% off when you order right now. But then Camo Fire is, it's a website where you can download the app, which is what I have, most people have. And it's a rotating door of deals. It changes every 24 hours, and you never know what's going to be on there. And at some point, stuff you can get on Black Ovis will be on Camo Fire. And you can get some hella savings on there. I'm not going to hop on it right now because my phone's sitting like 8 feet away from me. So you can get awesome deals there. Make sure you check that out. Reveal Cameras by Tacticam. We're going to probably be doing a show with them in the next 6 to 8 weeks. They got some new stuff coming out and some awesome technology that is going along with their cameras that is pretty freaking badass. So make sure you are looking out for that. Can't say much more than that right now. So check out Reveal Cameras by Tacticam. Midwest Gunworks, use our code 5OFF MWW. That is the number 5OFF MWW. Get 5% off any one of your orders. Basically takes care of shipping, honestly. It's, which is nice. I mean, it's hard to find gun-related discount codes. So when you can find one, use it. You can get ammo, gun parts, obviously. You name it. You can buy firearms from them. MidwestGunworks.com. They are, you know, kind of a one-stop shop for a lot of your gun-related parts needs and other stuff, too. So check them out. Athlon Optics. I hate to say it. I haven't hunted a coyote quite yet this summer. It's going to change this next week, but I will have a Athlon Ares 3x18 on the gun that's going to be going out with me. So I can't decide if I like it better than the Midas Tac yet. I keep going back and forth. I think if you held a gun to my head and said you got to pick the Ares or the Midas Tac, I'd probably pick the Ares. But man, those are two awesome scopes that if you were looking for an Athlon, I would recommend either one of those. And find a dealer near you. We got a buddy, Jesse Bunger, who is a dealer out there with Explicit Outdoors in Harrisonville. And we can get you hooked up with him, and he can help you out. And he can give you what his thoughts are. I think he loves the Aries as well. So Morel Targets, last one, moreltargets.com. They got a new bag target out called the Mod Pro. It's sweet. You can change out the face of it to all kinds of different, so like different targets. So they got games, they got legit scoring targets, they got one for like sighting in. So everything's inch by inch, and it's pretty sweet, man. And it's, I think they're like $22 from on their website to change the faces out. So you can buy the bag and then change the faces out in 2 seconds. It's just basically Velcroed on there. Boom, boom, you're done. So check them out, MorelTargets.com. And obviously the Big High Roller is one of my favorites of all time. Sitting outside right now. And that's it. So let's get into our show with Dan Johnson about off-season trail cam strategy. This is the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. Okay, got Dan Johnson with us today, host of the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast. What's up, man?
Nothing. Just trying to be a dad, trying to make kids happy, trying to make a wife happy, trying to make money, trying to make sure that all this, I keep my grass mowed at a certain level so that the neighbors don't bitch at me. Trying to plan for the deer season. I don't know. There's just a lot going on.
Yeah, I echo the same sentiment, and I'm successfully doing none of it. So that's awesome.
That's funny. Yeah, life is crazy, man. I can't believe I looked at my schedule. And when I say schedule, we have a calendar hanging in our kitchen. And if it's not on the calendar, this event does not exist.
Okay? Right.
So if you want to do something, you got to put it on the calendar. And our calendar, there's no joke here, is full of something every single day from now until the first week in August.
Yeah. No, you're preaching to the choir. I know that. Yeah. When people say that, when people like you and I tell other folks who don't have that same sort of life right now, that happens, I don't think they believe us.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I swear to you, every single night of my life is spoken for. And then my dumbass is running a podcast outside of my full-time job. You know, like, they're like, what? Right. How do you ever get anything done? And I'm like, I'm not exactly sure how I do.
I'm pretty efficient with my time. That's what I do. And one thing that pisses me off is when I hear someone with no kids say, oh man, I'm so busy. Or so, like when someone goes, oh yeah, I know exactly how you feel. I have a dog. And I want to punch those people right in the face. Or even someone with one kid going, oh my God, my schedule is so busy. I'm like, shut up.
It takes everything in my body not to say, fuck you. The second, like, not just blurt it out to them, you know?
Yeah. Or just what I tend to do, and it drives my wife crazy, is when someone's, maybe it's because I'm getting older and I don't tolerate nonsense anymore, but when someone is having a conversation with me, I will literally just turn around and walk away. I just don't want to waste my time listening to somebody else bitch about their life that is obviously easier than mine. I don't bitch to anybody.
Why I just are you do bitching it. To me? Yeah. A perfect example. So my wife's birthday was the day after Mother's Day. So I get double whammied. My wife has Mother's Day and then her birthday. So I go into this place called Bath and Body Works. I'm sure people know what that place is. She likes it.
We know.
And I buy her some bath bombs and this thing, this kit. I don't know. It looked cool. So I go to check out and the lady's like, does your wife have an account here? I said, I'm sure she does. They're like, okay, well, do you have a coupon? No. Well, would you want to go home and get it? I was like, no, I want to buy the item right now. She's like, sir, it's like a 25% coupon. I said, I'm not, do you know how much an hour is worth to me? I'm not spending the time to drive home to find some coupon. Just sell me this item, please. And she could, I mean, it was almost like
if
I was.
If I walk out of here, I'm not coming back.
Yeah. You could, dude, I swear, it was like she thought I was murdering a puppy at the moment. I mean, she could not believe that I didn't have a coupon. And I'm just like, listen, just sell me the freaking lotion or whatever the freaking hell I've got in this box. So I do get it, man. I do get it.
But, yeah. Well, that's the same everywhere you go now. Someone's trying to get you to sign up for that company's credit card. And then they'll say, well, if you sign up today, then you're going to save 60% on today's shop. But then you get your credit run and then you get a credit card. And then there's a potential for an interest rate. Yep. If you do decide to put it on and forget to pay it.
Yep.
So even if it saves me 50%, I'm just like, no, because more than likely I don't come here enough to spend the money on this.
No,
at your store. So,
and I always have said, and I think I heard this from somebody, if you mess with snakes enough, you're going to get bit. And my wife has, I think it's a Kohl's card. And when she go, you know, she'll save the percentage and whatever, just like you said. And then I get the bill and I'll pay it. And I'll pay it off, and we've never, you know, paid them any interest. Well, a couple months ago, it got lost in the mail or something, and I paid it 2 days late, and we had like a $35 late fee the next month. I told my wife, I'm like, well, there goes all your savings. And she's like, can't you call them? I said, why? I paid it 2 days late. Like, they're not going to take this off. Well, actually, what's funny is I did call them, and I'm like, hey, either you remove this or I'm closing the card, and they freaking removed it. So I didn't pay the late fee, but still, next time they're not going to do that.
Across.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, enough bitching about being idiots, but, okay. So you and I are recording, well, like what, 20 minutes after we wanted to, speaking of like being on time, right? Like we both were ready to go
technology.
And then technology fucked us. But one thing I wanted to talk to you about today that I was listening to you talk about a couple weeks ago or a week ago on social when you put out your video clips is trail camera strategy, especially this time of year.
Right.
So, the reason I ask you this is you are a guy that keeps trail cams out all year long, or at least some.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I am a guy who takes them down around February, mid-February, whenever I get out, basically. I'll take them down from, like, let's just say February 1st, even though it's probably a little early. We're going to say February 1st. I'll take them down from then until July 1st, usually the first week of July.
Mm-hmm.
Why? We'll get into that. But you tend to keep them out. And your strategy behind it being maybe different than mine because of the different states we're in. So I guess first just talk about what's your trail cam setup. Like, are most of your trail cams regular trail cameras compared to cell cams that you that you keep out on a year-round basis?
Okay. So, yes, as of right now, I have more regular trail cameras that I've collected over the years than I do cell cams.
Right.
The technology, though, is to a point where cell cams are going to be way affordable within the next 5-10 years, to where I'm going to guess regular cell cameras are almost going to be obsolete. Okay. And so what I mean by that is, here's how this conversation started with, like, this internal conversation started with myself about trail cameras was, I was cleaning out my garage the other day, and I came across all the trail cameras that I left or that I took down once I killed my deer in Iowa this year. And so I was like, I just was staring at them, and I was like, their function is to take pictures. And then I use that information to make a decision on where to hunt and what deer to go after. Well, I started sweeping the garage floor and I looked back at them. I'm like, well, right now they're not taking pictures. They're not doing anything.
Right.
And so the more information that I have, the better I can use that information and I can make a better guess on where these deer are going to, you know, be moving, terrain features, whatever. And so I was like, man, I just got to get these out, right? Just collect something. And I had a mix of regular trail cameras and cell cams. that are in my garage. And so why I started talking about that was I have a piece of equipment that I'm paying for, but I'm not using. And so fast forward to youth turkey season this year, when I took my daughter out and we were running and gunning, looking for turkeys. And we came across the trail camera that I had left out all year round. And I took it down, took it back to the house and started flipping through trail cam pictures. Well, I gained a whole bunch of information about a specific piece of property that happened after the hunting season was over, right? So now you have, okay, this deer is here at this point in time. And so that means his range isn't just over here where I thought it was, it's here too. Maybe it's not necessarily, during the hunting season that he's here. But when I, for example, there was a buck that disappeared in these two draws that the last 3 years, he has worked these two draws pretty regularly, but then he disappears for a while and I don't know where he goes. Right. And then he comes back. Right. And so this was a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old the past 2 years. And I'm keeping my eye on him. He's a big, heavy 8-pointer who, if he makes good strides to a 4-year-old this year, there's a chance I go and hunt him. But I got pictures of him during the late season or after the season was over. And so my thought process is just like, okay, when he disappears, there's a chance he comes over here now. Okay. So if he becomes a shooter this year and I'm, you know, early season nocturnal picks, and then late October, mid-October, he disappears for a little bit. Maybe I need to come over and investigate this area, even though it is far away from where his core area is.
Right.
When he does disappear, I'm thinking that I got a chance to hit him when he's going on one of those excursions that they talk about all the time. So, it's just, the more information that you have, the better chances I feel it tells you more. Maybe that trail camera that you left out all year doesn't tell you anything. It doesn't show you anything, but that in itself is information that's going to allow you to go, hey, you know, this trail camera isn't really producing that much intel. I'm not going to go back, you know, back on that. Now I say that with an asterisk because we both know that trail cameras only tell a very, very, very small story
right.
of an area.
Yeah.
Only what is in front of the trail camera. So that was my thought process of why I feel like I should keep my trail cameras out all year.
Well, you got me thinking when I watched that, and it actually made me think of two things. So every trail cam that I own now is a cell cam. So I had probably a dozen. Well, let me tell you my theory before I listened to you say what you said just now and then a couple of weeks ago on your video. So I take mine down, you know, mid-February, late February, whatever. Put them back out around July. Because they're cell cams, so then I can cancel the plans. Save some money there, and I can get them back, clean them up, you know, check if there's anything wrong, you know, kind of assess them, right? And I kind of put them in bed. Like there's this process I have. I put them to bed.
Yep.
That's just always how I've done it, especially with the cell cams, because then I don't have to, you know, I've got 13 cell cams that are running somewhere throughout the season. So I've got, let's say 13 times 10 a piece, $130 a month I'm pumping out. So, you know, I can save a little money there. And then also in Missouri, in my county currently, I can put out mineral for deer. So starting, you know, about the time you start mowing, I start dropping my mineral sets and, you know, or heavily dropping them about once a month. I'll refresh them. And I know where the deer are going to be. I know it. I know they're going to be in front of that mineral, throughout the summer. And so when I deploy cameras, there's going to be a camera in front of each mineral lick, right? So I kind of, I guess you'd say I get lazy. Well, then I watched what you said, and I'm like, man. So I had probably at least a dozen or so regular trail cams that I had accrued throughout the years, stealth cams, whatever you want to, you know, whatever brand they were throughout the years.
Yeah.
And once I started doing cell cams, I sold them. And I kind of regret it because those cameras, once I bought them, they were, I was never going to get the amount that I sold them for ever back out of them. Right. This time of year is the perfect year to utilize one of those cameras where, you know, like it's not go time. It's not, we're not hunting right now. And like you said, you can, you can throw some of those in areas that maybe you haven't really even had trail cams before through this during the season. You want to see if that one buck you were just talking about is over here. And I have kicked myself for a good 10 days since watching that, that I sold those cameras. For next to nothing. I think I sold them for $200 for 12 of them. I mean, so somebody paid $10,
oh, wow.
$15 a piece. And I thought I got a pretty good deal, you know, selling them. But I'm just like, they all worked. They all worked fine. And then I could have pulled them when I went and sat my summer sets, as I call it, my cell cams for the year. But you make a great point, but you know, at the same time, in Iowa, you can't put mineral out. Am I wrong about that?
No, you can put mineral out.
You can. Okay.
You can. And so for me,
I'm trying to remember if there's somewhere that, of course, in Missouri, in certain counties, you can't, but I thought another state you couldn't do it at all. But anyway,
I'm trying to think. I know there's certain, like there are certain states where you cannot put mineral out, but Iowa's not one of them.
Gotcha.
You know, if I wanted to use a loophole, I could put a salt block out there and just say it's for cattle.
Sure.
Too, right. And put put a trail camera over it. So we have this ag, and I think it's because, I think some of it is because of the ag industry. All somebody has to do is say, hey, listen, it's for cattle, and they can get away with it anyway. So, or livestock of some sort. But when it comes to mineral, you know, right now my trail camera strategy throughout the entire year is just shifting cameras, right? And so when I think about it, there's two places throughout the year that I put trail cameras, all right? And so, and then I just leave them there. So for the most part, yes, I take my trail cameras down, some of them down, and bring them home. But then there's other times I just leave them up all year. And so like crit crossings, fence crossings, mock scrapes, certain pinch points in a terrain feature, inside corners of pastures. Most of those are terrain focused, but I leave those up all year round, for the most part. And then at the beginning, I just don't worry about them. Even if the batteries go dead in them, usually by now they're dead.
Sure.
And so then when I go in August or September to change the batteries out, get everything ready for the upcoming hunting season, then I can check that intel of what happened throughout the hunting season. Now, with all of that said, there is a shift that some of these cameras, they go on a little bit of a journey every year, and I'll take them out when I'm going to dump mineral. I have like 1, 2, 3 mineral sites across my two farms. I think I'm going to add a fourth one to my new farm this year that in an area that I can't hunt. So I'm just going to put a mineral station there to kind of see what shows up. With that said, I think I move them for inventory. I'll move it off of a fence crossing this time of year, and I'll put it over the mineral site for inventory purposes. What deer are there? Sometimes I'll use a cell cam. You're going to get a ton of pictures over a mineral site to the point where your batteries probably run out pretty quick.
Yep.
But, and then you're going to have to go chase them. So I think my strategy this year is going to be go dump the mineral in late May and June, and then come back in I'm going to say after the 4th of July and move some of those cameras over top of that. Then come back in late August, early September, and move those off of the mineral sites back into a pinch point, mock scrape, a live scrape, you know, all of the places that I just mentioned. So I want inventory, but then once the inventory is collected, I want travel patterns. And really that's what I'm going for. And really, once I put a trail camera back onto a travel pattern location, then I don't even care if I get bucks. I'm going to get bucks because all deer use the same terrain feature. But honestly, especially cell cams, I am looking for doe movement. That's all I care about. I just want to know that there's does coming through a place consistently. And then eventually when the bucks say it's time, I need to be hunting in these areas where these doe groups are moving through.
Yeah. One thing I've failed on the last several years, especially this new property that Micah and I have permission on, where he killed the big deer off of this year after hunting for 10 minutes. And I'm not bitter. Is, you know, in the late winter, finding the obvious trails that you can find in the late winter that deer mm-hmm. use.
Yeah.
You know, basically going on a scouting trip in the late winter and find those obvious trails, and then trying to see if those trails are the same trails they're using once the greenery pops up, right?
Yeah.
Trails are much harder to notice during the summer than they are during the winter, although if you pay attention, you can tell where they're traveling, where their trails are.
Right.
And what I will try to do, and I'm curious what you think of this, I'll try to find a trail that I think is a pretty good trail that they use, and I'll put a camera on that trail facing one direction, and then I'll try to find another portion of that trail where there is a conjoining trail, you know, like a pinch point, whatever you want to call it, another trail coming to it, yep. and I'll put a camera on that intersection. And what I'm attempting, what I'm attempting to do is get two bits of information. You've talked about this before, putting like the puzzle together. So hopefully I can get a picture of a buck or a deer on the one camera, and then the next picture is them on the next camera, either going one way on the intersection or the other, or vice versa. They're on the intersection, and then the next picture I get them further down the trail. And so what I'll do is I'll try to get a camera on that intersection and then a camera on both trails. So I can, I can almost guarantee myself, although it doesn't happen like that a lot, but you can try to guarantee yourself that if there's a deer at the intersection, you're going to figure out which way they're traveling because you have a camera on both trails. Now, does it happen that way?
Yeah.
I mean, one trail might be much, much more traveled than the other, but that's what I try to do. What do you do about this time of year for trails and travel patterns for cameras?
Yeah. So again, it's just the terrain features. Creek crossings are very popular places.
Yep.
Where terrain dictates deer movement. Really, that's it. So I'll just give you an example. On this new property that I hunt, there is a creek that runs north south, and it just curves back and forth. And so when it curves into high ground, it creates a steep bank. And then on the top of this bank is a trail, right? So the deer aren't going down a steep bank, crossing a creek, going up a steep bank. They're hugging the bank high side, and they're following this north-south travel pattern. Well, I put trail cameras there on that because there's two, they can go low, but most of the time they stay high, especially when they're coming back in to the timber from feeding all night. So morning, a lot of it's morning movement that I catch there. And then they go to their beds. And then when they come out of their beds in the evening, they go straight to the green, and then the timber kind of empties per se.
Right.
So with that said, like I don't necessarily try to find patterns through multiple trail cameras, like what you do. However, the outcome is the same. So I take like right now I use Onyx. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I'm on Onyx. You can do it with anything. And you mark on a map where you saw a deer. Then you mark on a map where you got a picture of the deer. Then you got mark on a map another picture. And so what this does on this overlay is it creates a shape, whether it's a big square, whether it's a star looking thing. In 2018, I used this strategy in 2020, I believe it was 21. I used this strategy specifically to kill the deer that I killed. And so long story short, you are triangulating their position through historical data. And you're saying, okay, this deer shows up here. He shows up here. I found his shed here. I saw him from the stand right here. And all this data creates this shape. And then what I do is I look for a terrain feature that dictates deer movement within this shape.
Right.
And usually that results in deer, maybe not that deer every time, but now you're knowing maybe I need to put a camera here. And if I put a camera here and I get a picture of him here, now I have a good access route to a good stand location or saddle location or a ground blind location, whatever the case may be. And I can now get out and get into a place where I know he's moving through and then try to ambush him that way.
Yeah. I you know, what's funny is I do that, but I don't correlate that with trail cams. I mean, I do it. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of funny. I don't actually think of the map side of it. Like, so I keep a note. I've talked about this with you before. I keep a note, and every picture I ever get of that deer, I talk about what time it was, which way he was traveling, what the weather features were. But I never actually go put it on a map. I'm just sitting there, and I'll look at the, like, I'll read it, and I'll try to, like, figure it out myself. Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. I ought to open up a Onyx map and just start dropping pins of a certain color and doing what you're talking about, because I'm doing that with my trail cams. I'm just doing it the old school way, kind of like I'm taking the new information, new technology, and I'm still writing it down. You know what I'm saying? Like basically putting in a note is just like writing in a notebook.
Right. And what caused me to do that was in 2017, there was a 4-year-old that I was kind of interested in hunting. He was probably about low 140s, maybe as a 9-pointer, just barely a 9-pointer. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like an inch tine making him a 9-pointer. And so I was shed hunting this field and I found his shed and I said, okay, I'm going to go check this trail cam. I finished shed hunting. It was one of the best shed hunting days I've ever had. I think in 40 minutes, I found 12 or 13 sheds.
Awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And so I pulled the trail camera card, took it back to the house, checked it. And I had this picture of this buck in October, November. And then also, because he had a characteristic on his face that made it's like a scar. I think like right in the middle of his head, he had a scar. I said, hey, that's that buck. And here's his shed. And he was here in November too. So something in my head kind of sparked. And I was like, you need to go just on a map, put all the points where you have him. Cause I didn't see him from the stand, but I had him across the North Road 1 year. And that's a pretty far distance from where I found his shed. So this means he's moving on this imaginary line back and forth throughout here. I want to go see what terrain features there are in here. And so I printed out a map. I made all these dots with the marker, and then I connected each dot to each dot, right? So there's lines coming in and there's lines going out of each of these dots. And it created this star. Well, what I did was then I basically made a circle around it. And I said, what terrain features within this shape could this deer be moving through? And I said, this one. And it was right in the middle from a velvet picture that I had of him in August and where I found his shed. And there's a direct line that went between these two spots. And I put a tree stand there after a 48-hour rainstorm. Mm-hmm. And it was the first and only deer to show up. And I shot him. So that was an instance and an example. I did the same thing with my 2021 buck. Two, I had him on trail camera at three different places, so it made a triangle. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna set up on him right here. And sure enough, he came through that night. So a little bit of luck and a little bit of just data. Yep. And using that data to put a plan together is really what it was.
I think the good point is off-season trail cam picks, and that's kind of what I wanted to get across in this show with you today, is off-season trail cam picks can go into killing deer during the season. Right? Like,
yes.
The pictures you got of him, yes. You know, you found his shed. That was a data point. You got a picture of him after you checked that camera. Another data point. Well, those were all after season. He dropped his sheds after the season, or his antlers after the season was over. That picture you got was after. Some early season stuff you're getting, or early camera pictures that you're getting during the summer, that's not during the season. But you can take that information that you are getting in the off season and help use it towards information you're getting during the season, whether, you know, we're hunting. We haven't even talked about during the season trail cam strategy, because that changes. Now we're putting cameras over scrapes and, you know, crossings and, you know, where does are at more, that sort of stuff. But you can take the information you're getting during the season and go, all right, here's what I got during the season. Here's what I'm getting off season. I'm going to go right here. Just like you said, terrain features within those are the important, because sometimes it like jumps out at you on the map, right? I'm sure that would be great. You put all these dots on your map and then you're just like, oh no shit, this ridge right here, boom, got it.
Yep.
Makes sense. Yep. And other times you're like, the freaking hell is this guy doing? You know? So that's kind of what I wanted to get across today, is, you know, off season trail cam strategy. The differences kind of like
matters.
Yeah, it matters. I'm kind of wasting time right now. I've got zero cameras out. And I could have them in areas on a farm that I've only hunted for 1 year right now, trying to get me some information. Mm-hmm. And the next time I go out and drop mineral, I'm probably going to take a few cameras and put them in different areas that I think. Well, actually, what I'm going to do with a farm that I've never hunted before besides last year is I'm going to put some cameras in places I never hunted last year and never had cameras, and just start trying to get information from there, unless there are areas that aren't worth a shit. But if there's sign that deer are in there, I'm going to put a camera in there, because that's information I've never received. So I'm going to get some. So thank you for costing me more money. I appreciate that. That's going to
just batteries, man. Just batteries.
and the plans, because I don't have any more damn cameras that aren't cell cams. I'll tell you, I might have to call my buddy back that bought them from me and be like, dude, are you not using any of those? I'll buy them back. But
you're going to Indian give?
Yeah, exactly. I'll buy them back from him, and he's probably going to charge me more than I've, you know, whatever.
Only a good friend would.
Only a good friend would, yeah. Well, Dan, man, like I said, this is a quick show. I just kind of want to talk about some off-season trail cam strategy, and appreciate you giving your thoughts on it, and something for people to really think about. This is going to come out May, like, 20th, somewhere in there. I don't remember exactly, 21st maybe. Yep. And so, I mean, it's early season, and a lot of people don't put cameras out, like me, till July, August. Yep. might think about getting a few of them out right now and at least checking stuff out. You're probably out doing stuff on your properties anyways, whether it's dropping mineral, whatever, food plots, that sort of stuff. So you might as well, you know, throw some cams out. So I appreciate you coming on and talking about that, Dan.
Anytime, man.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.